As we pull into Nancy's yard, let's give away these Sun Devil tickets before I forget. This is the Sun Devils basketball versus California, a Wednesday game, February 8th. This is Section R, Row 20, not bad, Seat 7, and it comes with a parking pass. If you got our newsletter, you saw Rosie's latest video on home security. It talks in particularly about security doors. There were three key factors in picking your security door. Just text us any one of those three key points to 411-923. First one to text that in, we'll send these tickets to you, and you and three of your closest friends or family will be joining you for a Sun Devil basketball game. I'm not sure which California team. When it says just versus California.
That's the University of California.
Is that USC?
Berkeley. No, Cal Berkeley.
Cal Bears. Cal Berkeley. Okay. Thank you. All right, Connie. Oh, no, Nancy, I'm sorry. Next on the line, in Scottsdale with a Palo Verde question. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Yes, I have a Palo Verde that is sloughing its bark, and there are holes underneath where the bark was.
Oh, sounds like Palo Verde borers to me. You know, the big, ugly beetle that flies around in late summer when the monsoons hit is the adult version of that, and the borers get in those trees and just, you know, ravage them. And that's not sure what it sounds like you've got going on. Without seeing a picture, I would hesitate to be sure. But you can buy some different remedies for borers. One of them is a granular product that's systemic. You can put it on the soil around the base of the tree and water it in. And it will get absorbed by the roots of the tree, travel up into the trunks and stems and limbs. And anything that's feeding on that probably will be dead. Sometimes the only remedy is to actually prune out limbs that, you know, if they've gotten really riddled with borer damage, they can be kind of liable to blow off, break off, fall off when we have a strong wind. And if they're, you know, out over the driveway or out over something that they might fall on, you have to be careful. I've seen whole Palo Verde trees actually tip over due to the damage that starts down in the roots and goes up through the trunk. So, you know, if it's a very large Palo Verde, it might be worth having someone come out and do a little inspection for you and see if, you know, if it's worth even treating or if you're better off just, you know, starting over.
Is there anything a homeowner can do to be proactive against Palo Verde beetles, or do you just have to wait until you see them and then attack them?
You could regularly apply, a systemic granule, the imidacloprid product, in the area around your Palo Verde trees, you know, probably once a year in the early spring, so that when they start actively growing in the hot weather, they absorb a lot of it.
Those borers are dangerous. I was working in the backyard last spring.
Yeah.
And one hit me in the side of the head, and it feels like a
B-52. Well, they're about as big as a B-52.
They kind of startle you. So I'm hoeing some concrete in a bucket, and I fall over the hoe. The hoe penetrates my upper breast under the armpit.
Ah.
I fall over, cut myself on the hoe, splashed the concrete. It was a Kodak moment that I was really glad nobody had a Kodak.
Exactly.
They're dangerous.
Wow.
Let's bring Connie next on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. She's new from Minnesota and wants to know about cactus. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning. I have a house in Glendale that has some very small landscaping, but I have wanted, I don't even know the brand or type. It's the cactus that are like flat like a palm, and they come in different colors. So there's a hospital over by my house that has like purple-tinted ones and pink ones. And how does one take care of a cactus? I don't want like the big, tall saguaros or whatever. I just want a cute little one, and I want to keep it small, but I want it in my yard.
Okay. Well, the little pad or flat pad type cactus are prickly.
Yeah, I Googled. It looks like maybe it's a prickly pear, but they're the ones I saw. There's a hospital on 101 between Maryland and Bethany Home that's like Dignity Health or something, and they have this beautiful, beautiful desert landscape, and they have a bunch of different colored flat, I'd call them flat cactus, where it's a bunch of little oval shapes or like egg, flattened egg shapes that are attached to one another.
Right. There are prickly pears. There's I don't know how many varieties of prickly pear there are. Lots. And some of them get really big. So if you don't want something that gets big, you need to make sure you ask which variety at the nursery you're buying that will stay smaller. But they're very, very hardy. Some of those varieties are actually native to our desert here. I think prickly pear cactus grow in all but two states in the United States. I think Maine and Alaska are the only two that don't have some variety of prickly pear cactus growing. So they're very diverse, very, very spread out, very widely spread, and there's lots of different options. The Santa Rita, or the one that has the purplish pads to it, is very popular because it has some color, you know, to it, kind of a grayish purple coloring. There's other varieties that stay a little bit smaller than that even. That's kind of a medium-sized grower. So, yeah, find out. You don't have to do much to them. We'll plant them. Give them a little water when you plant them. Maybe through the summer months, especially May and June and early July before we get some summer rain, give them a little bit of water maybe once a month so that they stay nice and hydrated and the pads don't kind of wither up and get wrinkly looking, and you'll be fine. That's really all you need to know. Plenty of sun.
One other point, Connie, if you're planning on doing, I know you said you have a small area, but if you plan on doing any kind of other gardening, if you plant a prickly pear, you're in town, so you don't have to worry about the javelina, but that's going to be a pretty heavy rabbit cover you're going to find. So you may be creating a harbor for an invader to your future vegetable garden.
Connie was also wondering, how well do they do in big pots?
Fine. Yeah, they do great in pots. You could plant just about any of the varieties. Again, make sure maybe one of the smaller varieties. But almost all cactus and succulents do very well in containers.
We appreciate the call, and welcome to Arizona from Minneapolis. We have info at rosieonthehouse.com available for people that need a little help with some kind of plant or fungus identification in Jeremy's case. He's got a fungus in his grass that he's been trying to get rid of and wants to know what it is. He said, my dog loves to eat it, which is funny because when I first saw it, I said, that looks like dog throw up more than it does a fungus. And lo and behold, his dog eats it.
from the looks of that fungus that's growing, it looks like that maybe there was at one time an old tree or that's the root is decomposing. Under the surface of the soil, and he's getting some. We get these periods of lots of moisture and mild temperatures. You get some fungus that will grow. That's where they grow mushrooms, is in rotted manure, rotted decomposing material. So it's just inherent in that, and that's the type that looks like, kind of that slime moldy looking type fungus that's growing up out of the ground. Again, turn your sprinklers off. Try and keep it, from being as wet as you can. Only as much moisture as you need. I think you could go another week at least, even in 75-degree weather coming up, without watering your winter lawn. Just try and dry it up. Remove those. I like to take a shovel and just kind of scrape them off and put them right into a plastic bag. Be careful not to break those up. Some of those will have spores that can spread. And if you want, use a little granular soil sulfur, some dusting sulfur, something like that in those areas can be pretty effective at drying those up.
We appreciate the email, Jeremy. That picture and the content of that will be posted to our website later with a link from our archive page. If you go to rosieonthehouse.com, you heard something on the broadcast Saturday you missed or wanted more information on, or you wanted to see a picture of this fungus, so you, maybe that's what I'm dealing with. Is that the same thing? when you click on podcast, you'll be able to select today's date, and we'll have a link to that article we'll create here in just a minute. That'll be live later today. You can get all the information you hear on the broadcast later and at rosieonthehouse.com. Fred sent an email in with a mesquite tree, a single trunk out of the ground, splits off probably a foot above ground, and there's a split right there where the two trunks break off. They look like they are, I'm going to say, about a 6 to 8 inch diameter,
right,
each one, so
right,
they're a little
right.
heavy.
Too big to cut off, really, and it would change the character and the dynamics of the tree if you removed one of those. So what simply can do is drill a hole through that trunk where the area is split and put oversized washers on both sides with a bolt with a big washer on each side to keep it from sucking too tightly into the trunk of the tree. And literally bolt it, not don't crank it down, you know, where you're imprinting into the tree, but enough that it's going to hold together. And then maybe use a little bit of pruning sealer over that trunk, and then just leave that bolt there. That tree will heal around. All you really have is two impact points, so you're not going all the way around girdling the tree. And that's pretty effective way to do that and save that tree.
The biggest, prettiest mesquite tree I have in my yard, John Eisenhower had to do that about 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it has just held up beautifully.
Doesn't
saved
hurt
the tree.
Yeah, because if that thing comes apart and splits all the way down to the ground, then you're going to have to remove the tree. So it does work.
And it is completely acceptable method.
It is the acceptable method. Taking something and trying to bind it. A lot of people make the mistake of wrapping all the way around with something, and that then actually girdles the tree because you've got an impact point going all the way around the tree. Besides that, it's a lot weaker binding method than going straight through the tree and pinning the tree, just like they might pin a bone in your arm, just straight through.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. A couple more phone calls and some more emails on citrus. With some troubleshooting questions, and we do have a text winner. We'll get to all that right after this.